Welcome to A Sip Down Memory Lane, official episode one. I'm Olivia.
I'm Emma.
And today we're starting off with a bang. Emma is going to be sharing her story going to the dump recently.
First of all, we have to talk about what we are drinking.
Yes.
Today, I am drinking a mediocre lemon ginger tea.
That's sad news, Emma.
It is very sad. I even put two bags in to try to get extra flavor, and I didn't even fill my mug up all the way. It was like half full.
What the heck? You got some weak tea.
Yeah, it's fine. Just maybe don't get the Bigelow brand.
I think it's like the most famous brand of tea.
Is it really?
Maybe.
Oh my
gosh. Might be making that up, but
well, you're just Bigelow
roasting
them. Yes, starting out strong. Bigelow tea, you need to have a better lemon ginger flavor in your lemon ginger tea, because I'm hardly getting anything.
Is it at least like soothing you at all?
Yeah, it's fine.
We learn from our mistakes.
We do.
On this podcast.
I still have like half a box of it left.
No!
I think I bought it when I was pregnant, and that's why we have it. And it was helpful when I was pregnant to soothe nausea.
Okay.
But now it's just meh.
All right. Well, that makes sense. I'm drinking some sparkling strawberry juice, which is from Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's giving me the vibes of those hard candies.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like the strawberry hard
candies?
The, where the wrapper looks like a strawberry?
Yeah, and they're like ancient.
Yes.
Like no matter when you buy them, they're always old tasting.
Yeah, and you pretty much only see them at somebody's house if they're over like 70 years old.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I remember getting them in my stocking a few times as a kid. I don't know why my parents picked that candy out, but you know, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine. I'm disappointed that we don't have great drinks going on tonight for our first episode, but yeah. You live and you learn.
Yeah, it's true. We'll have better drinks later. So are you a sparkling water fan?
Yeah, I am. I know it's really controversial.
Yeah, I don't love it. I can have it when it's in something that has a lot of flavor mixed in. So it just basically is like turning it into a soda.
Like juice.
Yeah.
Like this. It's like this. This is juice. Well, even though we're not starting off strong with our drinks, maybe we'll start off strong with our exciting things that happened this week. Emma, what is something exciting that happened to you this week?
I really had to think about this week and what that was. And it's very simple. I got a haircut this week.
Yeah, that was this week?
That was this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that was so exciting. I know it feels like, weirdly, I've had this haircut for forever. I went to like hair that was like just above my boobs to like hair that's just above my chin.
It's
so
really cute though.
Thank you. It feels more myself to have short hair. So anyway, it just feels good. I like feel prettier with short hair. So anyway, it was very fun. I've been thinking about doing it for a while and I finally did it. And my friend that I went to did an amazing job.
That's good. Who'd you go to? You want to shout them out?
Oh yeah. I went to my friend Candace. I used to work with her. I do hair as well. We used to work at the same salon and I went to her because she is the bob queen.
Cute.
That's what she specializes in, and I probably wouldn't ever go to anybody else for a bob. She's just so good. I mean, you could go to me.
Yeah,
but I'm not
to yourself. I was like, I go to you for my bob, so don't say that.
I wouldn't cut my own bob is what I'm trying to say. But so me personally, I wouldn't go to anybody else because she's so good at it. And I learned a lot from her when I worked with her.
That's great. Shout out to Candace.
Shout out to Candace.
We love her.
How about you, Olivia? What was exciting for you this week?
Okay, something crazy happened last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was sitting in my driveway, talking on the phone, about to go inside. And I live on, like, that busy street, you know?
Yeah.
And it, like, goes into the canyons. There's just a bunch of cars all the time, no matter what. I see a dog.
Oh, no.
Just trotting across this busy road. And I was like, where's this dog going? Where did he come from? And I'm a huge dog person, for anyone who doesn't know that, which I don't know who wouldn't know that, because I am very obnoxious about my love for dogs sometimes. But yeah, I saw the dog and I was like, oh no, we're following this dog. We need to figure out if he's going home, if he's lost. So I pulled out of my driveway and I like followed him really slowly. Luckily it was like midnight, so no one was really like getting mad at me for being slow. There weren't that many people driving. But I was like, maybe I should try and like take him and see if he has a tag or anything. I swing open my door and I'm just like, come here, puppy. And he jumps in immediately, like no hesitation.
No way.
Yeah, he was so cute. And I was freaking out. I was like, I love dogs. This is the best night ever. Just kidnapped someone's dog. Anyway, it was great. I like brought him to our house for a second so that my roommate could see, and we pet him, and then we ended up taking him home. But it was definitely the most exciting part of my week.
Wait, that's so funny. You didn't post about it at all.
Yeah, no.
I'm actually very shocked coming from you that you didn't post about it and that I didn't know about it.
I know. Well, usually my stuff is in like those weekly little vlogs that I do.
That's
so
true.
I'm going to probably post about it.
In your blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liv has a an Instagram account.
A Finsta, if you will.
Called Liverwurst, where she posts fun little weekly vlogs, and I love them.
They are my favorite activity to do.
Well, I love that you do them because I just sit and watch them and like smile because I love them so much.
And Liesl is usually in it at least like 3 times.
Yeah, so. Liesl, my baby, is almost always in it. And
yeah.
I like looking at her, so it's really fun. Wait, were the owners nice? Like, did they know that he was gone or?
It was weird. We went to the, they had an address on his tag.
Uh-huh.
And so we just went to the address, even though it was like midnight, we were kind of expecting him to be like, where's our dog?
Yeah.
So we rang the doorbell and one of the lights was on in the house. And then we waited for like a few minutes and the light just shut off. So they just were like ignoring us. But luckily there was a phone number. I texted them. They didn't actually respond, but we knew the dog lived there because he was like acting very comfortable and it was the address on his tag. And he just ended up like walking to the backyard.
Oh.
So we were like, okay, I guess we'll just leave him. And then this morning they texted back and they were like, sorry, we were sleeping, but we appreciate it. And I was like, okay, if you ever need a dog sitter, let me know.
Did you tell them that you have the dog walking app too?
No, I didn't. What? I actually haven't used that app in like months.
What is that called?
It's called Wag.
That's what I thought.
Shout out Wag. Everyone download Wag. If you have depression.
become a dog walker.
Yeah, it saved my life, I think. But it was too much to do with a full-time job. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Emma, tell me about your experience going to the dump recently. I'm so excited. Actually, before we start with this, I need to say, when me and Emma were talking about doing this episode, I was like, oh, you want to talk about going to the dump? And she's like, yeah. And I believe the word you described this experience with was revelatory. A revelatory experience going to the dump.
I think that's what I said as well. And it really was. So to set up the scene. So I've only been to the dump twice in my life. This was the second time that I went, this story that I'm telling you about. And I went by myself. Now I've got a husband. I'm married to Olivia's brother. I've got a baby. And the first time we went, it was all three of us. And we went and got rid of, I think, this couch that was like not really salvageable.
I remember that couch.
Yeah, it was more like a love seat, but still. And then some other things, right? So I went by myself, and the reason is we had bought so many things recently that came in massive boxes. And it wasn't like we have a recycling bin at our house, but just one of those boxes would have filled up the whole entire recycling bin.
Ooh, big boxes.
Yeah, they were huge.
Okay.
And I think we had like 5 or 6 of them. But then we also had some things because we had gone through some stuff and needed to get rid of some things anyways. And so it was a combination of these really big boxes and a couple things that we needed to get rid of. There was a our old TV stand, which I had made, but was kind of janky the way that I made it. And then Dixon tried to fix it and it was, you know, anyway, it did not look great and was not safe for children to be around either. So it was time to get rid of it. It was also not salvageable.
You guys have massively upgraded. I'm looking at it right now and it's gorgeous.
Yes, our entertainment system now is so much better. We got two cube organizers that have, it's like two columns of three, and then we have it turned on its side. So really it's like two rows of three. And so we have two of those next to each other, and it's fun because we have little knickknacks on there, and we've got our records on there. The artichoke, the glass artichoke that Liv and I, well, Liv was with me when I bought it at DI. You're the one that found it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the best. DI is a thrift store out here in Utah that is, it's fine. Oh, no, we were at Savers.
Yeah, it was Savers. I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, my gosh, but I forgot because there's so many DIs here. Savers is better than DI. Yeah,
it's real good.
Yeah, it's still, you know, thrift shopping is still tricky. But, but yeah, so my artichoke, because I love artichokes. Yeah, and then we have the TV on top of it, and we've got some of, like, the storage cube things on there just so that we can organize some of the, you know, food stuff for our baby and, like, my journals and things like that. Like, anyway, we've got a bunch of things. The baby's diapers, stuff like that, right? Keep it out of the way, but it looks nice, and it's easy to just throw things in. Anyway, we had to get rid of the old one and all these boxes. Now, part of this, too, was we don't have a big enough car. Like, we have a Honda Pilot, which is big, but wasn't going to fit all of this stuff. And then we have a Hyundai Venue, which is tiny.
Yeah, it's really small, actually.
It's so small. Like, for me, I'm 5 feet tall. And to sit in that car with, like, Liesl behind me, the seat has to be up pretty far. Which, like, I still have leg room, but it is pretty tight, even just for me. I mean, surprisingly, it also feels weirdly roomy, but I know when other people get in, it's really hard. And we've brought two other people in with us because it seats five. And we've filled it, and it's tight. So there was no way I was taking anything in that car. We'd been meaning to do this for a really long time because most of this stuff was in the baby's room. And we were trying to transition her into her own room, and we had to get rid of all of this stuff. So my dad has a truck, and he lives about 20 minutes away from us. And it's a really big truck.
Yeah.
It's because it's four doors. And typically a four-door truck has a small bed, but he hasn't like a regular size bed on it. And that's because when I was a kid, he owned his own t-shirt printing business, and he would deliver the shirts to, like, schools or whatever, wherever he was doing the work for. And sometimes he would drive, like, an hour, hour and a half away to where his family lives. And so we would go and visit. And he was like, well, we want to have a big enough truck for the family to fit in, but also for, you know, things. So driving.
Trucks are convenient.
Trucks are so convenient. Yeah. One day we'll get one. But today's not the day. And it was, so I go from driving this Hyundai Venue to borrowing my dad's truck, which is huge. But that's besides the point. But the reason that I was doing this by myself is that I had the day off because I work part-time. And Dixon, my husband, was working. He works from home, but he works, you know, your typical days of the week. And I think it was like a Monday or a Tuesday. I can't really remember. But a day that I wasn't working, obviously. Actually, I think it was a Monday because my dad works on Tuesdays. He goes into the office on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but works from home the rest of the days of the week. And I interacted with him. So I'm pretty sure it was a Monday. You know, doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah. So I go by myself. I woke up, I think, at like 6. The dump opens at 7 or something, and I wanted to be able to get there as soon as possible. So I get up, I get my car, go get the truck, come back, and I just start loading. Dixon's not even awake yet. And Lisa's right. Not either.
Feminist over here.
Oh, 100%. You You know those videos where it's like me when my husband's home and they're like, oh, I can't do anything. And then me when my husband's not home and they're like lifting a couch. That is me. But even when my husband's home.
Okay. 24/7.
24/7.
You must be beat.
Always.
It's like the memes or the TikToks where they're like, all the feminism leaving my body when we have to canoe across this lake. They just like make their husband row the whole time.
Yeah.
Sit back and relax. You're not like that.
I'm not.
I appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm like, let's do this. I was so determined to get this stuff out because it's been so annoying to have it around that I was like, all right, I'm just going to start loading because I knew that he would be up soon-ish and he probably would wake up while I was doing this anyway. But I was just like, I just got to get it done because if I go in and wake him up, I could potentially also wake up the baby because she was in our room.
Too much.
Yeah. It was like, I might as well just start loading. And like I said, it was mostly just boxes. Like I could carry things myself. Like they weren't heavy. And this was like maybe first week of January, right? So it was only a few weeks ago. So it was, you know, beginning of the year, throwing things out. It felt really good to load everything up. And Dixon did end up helping me a little bit.
We'll give him a little credit.
Yeah. Cause he woke up and he was just like in his robe.
I love the robe.
He's obsessed with that robe.
It's such a vibe.
It is. He's been wanting one for so long, and he finally got one.
I told him the other day that he looks like, what's his name? Not Metro Man. The hero in Megamind.
Oh.
When he, like, fakes his death and goes on vacation, and they just find him in a robe with, like, a massive beard. I don't remember what his name is, but
I think it is Metro Man.
Maybe it is.
We're IMDBing this right now.
But he did. I put pictures of them side by side and they looked uncanny. Well, it was uncanny.
And at the time that you did that, he really looked like him a lot because he had longer hair.
Yeah.
I'm
a little sad he cut his hair, honestly.
But it is Metro Man. Did you know that Metro Man's voice is Brad Pitt?
What?
Yes, that's what this says. Crazy. Jonah Hill does a voice in this movie, too.
Oh, yeah. He's the...
Says Titan.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I think I...
One that, like, turns into a superhero throughout the movie. Being trained by Megamind or something.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't...
It's been a while since I watched it, but it's a classic.
I was a kid when I saw it. Also, if you're listening in, we will go off on so many tangents. Just embrace them. Tangents are very welcome here. Ben Stiller does a voice too.
Aw, I love him.
All right, well.
Walter Mitty.
Yes, Liv's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Let's get back. What was I saying? Oh yeah, Dixon comes out in his robe.
Dixon came out in the robe.
And he brought a couple things up, but then mostly I had him start, like, taking down the boxes for me because we had to flatten them for him to fit a little bit better in the truck. So he helped me in that way mostly. I didn't really flatten any of the boxes. He mostly did that. So then I drive up on my own, right? So I've made essentially two trips of driving on my own already, and now I'm doing this third one after I basically loaded up this car. And
where is the dump?
The dump is in Linden.
Oh.
So I have a weird relationship with this dump. I used to play soccer at an indoor soccer center right next to the dump.
Okay.
So I had smelled it many a time.
Familiar stench.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I literally wrote down as a question to ask you, what does it smell like?
Oh, it smells like, well, here's the thing that is interesting about it. It doesn't smell good, but it smells worse when you're outside of the dump than when you're in the dump.
Oh, that's a great metaphor for life.
Yeah.
We won't go into that, but
maybe
just ponder on it.
I get up to the dump like pretty much right after it opens. And the way that it works is you go up. I don't know how it works at most dumps, but this one, because I've only ever been to this one, you drive up to a window. You know when you go into a gated community where there's a security guard? mm-hmm. and they let you in.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like.
Like a national park or something?
Yes. So it's got this big kind of, I guess you could call it a kiosk.
Mm-hmm. The little huts they sit in.
Yeah, but it's a little, it's maybe like two of those. Okay. It's a fairly decent sized hut, but it's definitely just like a small room. You drive up, you pay, it's like $12 to dump your load. And they also ask you which county you're coming from, or maybe which city actually. So, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm from Orem, whatever. I don't think that affects the price. I think they just like to know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And then I paid for everything, and the lady, I was like trying to be like friendly, like, hi, like nothing from this woman. No friendliness, just business. What they have, and I actually think this is really, really cool, the way that they have this set up, is there are different lines to follow that are different colors. So they tell you which line to follow to go to the building that you need to drop off the stuff, because they ask what kind of garbage you have. And I was like, oh yeah, just your typical, like, whatever. She's like, okay, cool. So she tells me to follow the red line to building B, I think it was. So I follow the line and, you know, just going along. And we'd been to that building before. I think it's just where you go to throw away your typical stuff. And let me tell you, I'm trying so hard to cut back on waste. Sometimes it's unavoidable. But there is nothing more satisfying than chucking your garbage into a pile of garbage.
And you say this as like an environmentally friendly person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we just started using reusable napkins and paper towels, and we just bought the who gives a crap toilet paper.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
you're putting in effort.
I'm putting in a lot of effort, but there is just no other way to dump a bunch of things. Except for the way that I did it that day.
You just dump it.
You just dump it. And literally, you take it and you just chuck it onto this pile.
Yeah, that was something I was going to ask you about. Like, did it cause this existential crisis within you about environmental things?
No.
Okay.
No, because my approach to the environmental stuff is, even though I want to eventually get to a point where I'm living a mostly sustainable lifestyle, I also realize like it's going to take steps to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing one small thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And this was something where it was more sustainable for me emotionally to just get rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter how it happened. And I do think that when you go in there, they sort things out a little bit. So because I had so much cardboard, I'm sure there's some sort of like pulling things to different sections that they do. Like, there are people there kind of moving stuff around. So I kind of took comfort in the fact that like, it's going to be fine. But yeah, and I thought that I would maybe feel more bothered like by myself for doing that. But like I said, it was taking up so much mental space and energy, and it was affecting me emotionally that it just had to be gone.
Okay.
And I think sometimes that can be more important, especially like, I'm not going to do it all the time.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, and I'll try to be more conscious of how to get rid of those things anyway. It requires a lot of research, but you know, and typically like with a lot of boxes we have, like I said, we do recycle boxes. And then ones that are big enough, we hang on to because eventually we'll move out of this apartment. So I'm doing my part in other ways.
Yeah, for sure. Know?
And eventually, yeah, maybe I won't be going to the dump. But there are also just things that exist that I haven't found replacements for that I don't know how else to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, those systems are like hard to break, and
yeah,
it takes more than just ordering different products from sustainable companies. It's a much bigger issue. So
yeah, it's a challenge.
You are seen and heard.
Thank you. Well, and you know, as I'm throwing all this stuff out, right, I've done most of this myself, had this very empowering moment of like, I drove this massive truck. I drove by myself for a very long time, back and forth, loaded up this truck, mostly by myself, and then went and unloaded this whole thing by myself. It was like, oh my gosh, just getting rid of all this weight. And I was thinking about the new year. So Dixon and I had a date, at the beginning of the year too, where we went out and got dinner and we talked about our goals for the year. And I can't remember if the dump was before or after that, but I think it might have been before. So I already kind of was thinking about stuff that I wanted to think about with the new year. And I know people bag on New Year's resolutions, but let me tell you something. A year is a perfect way to judge time and set goals because it's a time frame that's already created.
Yeah.
Right? Like picking up in the middle of a year, you can certainly pick up things in the middle of the year. That's totally fine. But if you are determined to set goals to help yourself get better on a regular basis, like a year is a good time period. So stop dissing New Year's resolutions.
Just let it happen.
Just let it happen. And I've allowed myself to embrace resolutions the last few years and ones that are realistic too. So as I'm thinking about all these things and then I'm dumping everything, literally, it felt like I was dumping a lot of different things. And last year was an incredible year for me. I had a baby. I worked really hard in my career. I owned my own business and was able to get to a point where I felt very successful and very happy and fulfilled. But the beginning of the year was really hard because I had my baby in April, and that first part of the year, I was in so much pain. I was so exhausted. Mm-hmm. I wasn't loving my job. And there's a whole lot that comes with that. You know, there's a lot of backstory on that. I worked at a place that was really not good mentally. And it was really tough to go from that to starting a business, getting pregnant right after I started that business, and then, you know, trying to have a baby.
Survival mode.
Yeah. So the beginning of the year was just, okay, I've got to have this kid, which I was excited about. That makes it sound like I wasn't.
She's the most perfect child I've ever seen. So
yeah, she's incredible. But I had to go from, like, I wasn't in a good mental space. And so I was wanting to try to figure out how to just get out of my job and completely change my life and do something new. And then I took 3 months off to have my baby and came back and felt totally renewed in my career and felt excited. And so to go into this year feeling that way was so awesome, and to let things go from the previous year. And on top of that, I really want to embrace all the creative opportunities I possibly can, which is one of the reasons for starting this podcast.
Woo!
I know, right? So awesome. And, you know, deciding that I was going to do that, it was just really cool. And as I'm kind of thinking about these things, I look out the dump or the building that I was in. It didn't really have windows, like glass windows. It had slots for windows, essentially. It was like I think it was just a brick building, or more like a concrete building. And some of the window was covered just with random boards and things like that. But there was, you could see out this window. So I'm looking at all this mess. I'm looking out the window and I look out and you can see the mountains, and they're absolutely majestic because the sun is still rising, right? It's pretty early in the morning. Like, I probably got to the dump around 7. And if you live in Utah or you've been to Utah, you know that the mountains here are absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so to look out and see that, it was just like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Beyond all of this, like, I'm about to cry. Which isn't hard for me, but I have to make sure that I'm not crying while I talk so you can understand me. Letting go of all these things and then looking out this window, it was like, oh my gosh. Like, letting go of stuff can allow us to experience so many more beautiful things. And I was just letting go of some really simple things, right, that even emotionally. But it helped me to feel really empowered for everything that I want to do this year. And not even just this year, but throughout the rest of my life. So that's why it became this like really revelatory moment where I was like, I'm starting completely fresh. Like, this is brand new me, and really old me, because I feel like I lost myself for a while. And it's been a journey to get me back. And that's been a journey for the last couple of years, and it's been going really well. But it felt like then I was fully embracing myself again. And it was really, really cool.
I love that. That's so wild how all it took was just like the physical act of doing something that felt like a release to you. And like the combination of like it being kind of a new experience and it being like a quiet moment where you got to think like all of these tiny little factors that don't seem very important ended up being like monumental.
Yeah, there are so many times I think we need to do more physical things that reflect our emotional things because it allows you to fully just let it go. I saw a video once of this. It was a dad and his son, and they were out on like a bridge somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It was dark, and they were just yelling. And it was, I think, something where the dad was saying he was feeling, his son was feeling a lot of frustration. And so he was like, what better place than to literally let it out? And I think it's really helpful. Obviously, there are healthy ways to do it and unhealthy ways to do it. Yeah. But sometimes it is just taking that thing. And you don't always realize that it's going to turn into that.
Yeah, that's so true. There was this one time in college, me and my friends were kind of in that mood to just like release some emotions in a physical way. That sounds weird.
I know what you mean, though.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Why did I phrase it that way? Anyways, we didn't do anything wild. We just got like plates from a thrift store and wrote down like every stupid thing going on in our like stupid angsty minds. And we threw them at like these cargo trains that were parked in the town we lived in and just like smashed them against these trains. We picked up the pieces afterwards, speaking about environmentally friendly. But yeah, it was like strangely amazing. I didn't think it was gonna, I felt kind of silly doing it at first, but I was like, whoa, that worked.
Yeah. I know someone who would make what she called stabby cakes.
Oh my gosh. So, I love the sound of that.
She would just bake a cake, give it to her friends, give them a knife, and let them go at it. And then you could eat it afterwards.
That's really cute.
I know. I should try that.
Well, thanks for sharing your story, Emma. I think that was beautiful. And honestly, very reminiscent, not the word I want to use, captures the essence of the kind of podcast we want to have. I appreciate you being a little vulnerable about your experience going to the dump, as silly as that sounds.
Thank you. I knew it would be sort of vulnerable, but I didn't expect to bring tears out the first episode. I am a very emotional person, so it's not hard.
Thanks for listening to our first official episode of our podcast. We're going to be posting every Thursday, so please keep an eye out and follow us on Instagram at A Sip Down Memory Lane. Bye!
Bye!